Oh, yes, indeed. Near FM. And now we will join my colleague, Donny Tarrant, who is over in Clostadoulig for Clostadoulig Radio Week. And he's talking to a panel of guests from the Career Affair, or the Career Fair, excuse me, which is taking place today in the college. Good morning, Donny.
Good morning, Liam, and good morning to all the listeners. And I suppose, in fairness, if we were running a careers affair, it might be far more fun, but it's not. It's a career fair. I am joined here by Mary Hickey, who is principal of Clostadoulig, and Alison Delahunt from the Sandra Cooney Home Care Centre. Mary, I'm going to start with you because, well, I probably know you better and longer, I suppose. First of all, congratulations on the morning, because it's absolutely, I mean, it's horrendous weather, but what a turnout.
Thanks very much, Tony. And I'm delighted you've come up to join us this morning.
Now, I'm looking around this morning, and you held with some of your colleagues here, for want of a better expression, I suppose, a briefing session before we started. And as long as I know you, and as long as I've been meeting you at the likes of fairs like this, it never ceases to amaze me the diversity of courses and different things that you undertake here in Clostadoulig. And you always seem to have the ability to have, number one, I suppose, your finger on the pulse, but number two, to be ahead of the curve all the time.
We like to think we are, and I suppose just to put your listeners in the loop of what's happening today, we run a wide variety of courses, and I suppose we're lucky that we have the healthcare, the childcare, the various technology, IT-based courses, business, media, design, a whole plethora of them. But what's happening here this morning is we have students who are obviously doing end-of-year exams, and we have something like, 24 or 25 local employers and companies in here, and we're giving the students the opportunity to talk to the employers as they come out of their exams. And basically, it's very hard for students when they're on computers sending CVs. We're running a CV clinic where people are looking at their CVs and telling them how to update them and how to use LinkedIn. But it's very hard for students. In many cases, they're looking for summer jobs. In many cases, they're looking for permanent jobs. It's very hard for them to make the contact with the employers and to network. So what we're really trying to establish is, I suppose, in many cases, trying to teach our students how to network, how to engage with employers. We're lucky enough in that employers are very, very supportive of us. And we have very good companies in this morning. I mean, I refer to Alison here from a home care company, Sandra Cooney Home Care, who's coming in talking to our students. Like, we would have lots of students doing pre-nursing, doing healthcare assistant, doing childcare. They're all looking for employment now. We've new courses coming on stream in help desk support, and like we have Hertz in here this morning who are looking quite avidly for employees in those areas, because it's wonderful. The economy has really turned, because a few years ago we were at wit's end trying to get students employment. Now they're coming in looking for them, which is great. Absolutely.
The shoe goes on the other foot. Mary, just before I come to Alison, it's just one question that came to my mind that while you were talking. Do you ever keep a record of the strike rate to see how successful the students are gaining employment that come through your doors here?
We do, because we run up to now. We ran a telephone service of all past pupils where we would ring them up and say, where are you now? And in many cases, we used it as well to get testimonials from students for marketing and for other things. But we are now in a position where we're going to stop it, because there is a new IT system in place. And now, for example, if your name is Mary Hickey, as mine is, and you go into a Solace website, and I put in my PPS, my education history and will come up, and also my employment history. So basically, we are now able to track how many of our students went into employment, where they're employed. We're able to track within the confines of GDPR, of course, and all kinds of privacy data. But we're also able to track how many of our students use these courses to access to third level or whatever. But if they're working within the Irish economy, we can track students in a much more efficient way because there are new IT systems in the education system.
Brilliant. I'll be back to you in a minute. Alison, sorry for keeping you waiting. I suppose a very simple question to ask you. First of all, what are you doing here today and what do you hope to get out of the day for? I mean, you're a private company, so you're obviously in the... All private companies are geared towards making money. I know you're in the home care and all that, but what's your objective leaving here?
Yeah, so great question. I suppose I'm here today, as I said, my name's Alison Delahunt. I'm the clinical governance nurse at Sandra Clooney's Home Care, and I'm here with the HR personnel today. And really, our goal is to create a relationship with a really reputable college who outputs hundreds of healthcare, pre-nursing, kind of social sciences students every year. They have been doing so for a long time. And to potentially, you know, my goal would be to have a feeder system. That would be the vision whereby we could take students for work placement, work really closely with the likes of Clash and Doolig. Our company is based in Finglas on the Talca Valley Road there. But most of our business is in the North Dublin area. So this would be a population where we would really occupy as well with other home care companies, but we've an awful lot of clients in the Coolock in the North Dublin area. And for me, I suppose I have a background in teaching as well, so I know I understand the value of these students, the high quality of the QQI Level 5 award, particularly in healthcare. So for me, it's a key moment today.
Do you think that a lot of third level institutes might be missing a trick by not taking what Mary has done here and done so successfully and basically copying and pasting?
Yeah, I think like further education is so unique because it is more industry focused traditionally, and I think I think what Mary's done is really innovative. I know that Clash and Doolig are ahead of the curve because I suppose I've been in the education space myself, so I've watched them as well. It is about employer engagement, it's about talking, it's about communicating, and I think the third level institutions, maybe, you know, they're operating from a different perspective. But this is ideal for both us as the employer, and I think for Clash and Doolig as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's so innovative. I'd want to come back to you on that, Mary, because listeners this morning might glean that there is a slight connection by accent with the two of us. So something that you and I would remember from our younger days, and I'm just wondering, has Mary Hickey reinvented the wheel here?
Hiring fair.
Well, not that far off the hiring fair, but the old ethos behind the vocational schools of the techs, as we used to know them, where the teachers would be tracking the pupils closely and maybe zoning in on particular students who they saw had skills. Like, I'm talking for argument's sake now, we'll say about somebody who was very good at woodwork, or maybe very good at metalwork, or maybe very good at mechanical drawing, and that they would be lining up as those children came to the end of their educational life. They would be lining up employers for them. So, I mean, really, is what you've done, take that and multiply it by?
Yes. I mean, I suppose it comes back to the old thing that there's horses for courses. And, I mean, while we would run an awful lot of access courses where students maybe who didn't get what they want in CAO or Leaving Cert would use something like a pre-university science or preliminary engineering to access an engineering course. That's grand. But there's also a lot of students who have no intention of going to college and have no intention of doing hard maths. However, it doesn't mean they're barred from engineering for the rest of their lives. I mean, we have students here who have done the engineering technology course, a very practical course. There's some maths in it, but not very difficult. They would do engineering, they would do wood fabrication, they would do electronics, a lot of skills development. We have found that those students can really successfully walk into apprenticeships and walk into jobs in companies like Dublin Aerospace. They are miles, they would not survive in an academic degree qualification, but they are absolutely delighted. They're really well paid, they're really well thought of in their environment. There's every opportunity to upskill into much higher grades, and like, it's a win-win. Not everybody. Like, we're running traineeships in logistics and warehousing. Not everybody needs an academic qualification to get a good job that they enjoy and to get a well-paid job. And I mean, I suppose, what I know you were talking about previously, there was an old demarcation of vocational education being of a lesser value. That's gone. That's gone. Knowledge, skills and competence is what matters. Like, people talk to you about networking. They might see a common accent between you and I. I think I would have learned to network far, far away from the education system. You learn to network in your own home. You learn to network in the people you engage with growing up. No amount of education is probably going to teach you the skills of networking. I would see students that would come into us, would be very good at networking, wouldn't be naturally good at customer service. They've just got it. They've the personality. They've the liveliness. I mean, with respect to Alison's job, you know well you could send them into a home care situation and they would cheer the person up as well as doing the business. I also know students who might be very, very good at psychology and write long papers, and I think they might depress me if I was in a bed sick.
Well, that's a very interesting question, and it brings me to something that I've been dying to ask you for a long time. Do you ever have a situation here where a student comes in full of beans and full of the joys of life, and they are hell-bent on doing whatever course it is, and from your experience and your staff's experience over the years, as you watch their progression, do you ever have to take them aside and say, look, this is all very well and good, but I really don't think this is for you?
Yes. I mean, and we have a guidance service, and they're excellent. And you always have to talk to students about the reality of what their expectation is. And in many cases, when you dig down into it, the students may be very realistic. Parents sometimes are the problem. And very much an aptitude in parents where Johnny down the road is going to doing whatever and got 600 points in the CEO. It's just madness. You have to look at the students' capabilities and for what they want themselves. I would always say to students doing the Leaving Cert or any students that come in here, follow your heart in the first instance. Follow your interest. Because if you follow your own interest, you will find a job in it. Like, we would have students in here that they would do drama and the mother would ring or the father would ring and say, oh my God, where was I getting the theatre, this, that and the other. But in a way, if you do your primary qualification, something like drama or outdoor education or one of those, you learn skills of teamwork, you learn skills of customer service, you learn personal development skills. Like, the really important thing is that you're doing something you love. You find your passion and you're developing it.
Well, as you and I know, Mary, the day you get paid for doing something you enjoy is the last day you'll ever work in your life.
Absolutely.
Alison, probably an unfair question to ask when Mary is sitting opposite us here, but can you talk to me maybe about the quality of student coming out of Colossia Dooley into the home care service?
Well, I suppose what I can say is I know that the courses that are delivered in healthcare here, as with many other kind of colleges, they're QQI nationally accredited level 5 or level 6, depending on the course title. And for a student to achieve that award, you're looking at an intense year of learning from maybe September, really October, up as far as April or May. So while many people think these courses are 1 year, in duration. The students really are thrown in the deep end. They have to excel in 8 modules at least in 6 months' time. And it's a fast and furious environment. So while it's highly supportive, it's, you're very engaged with teachers and tutors, the students work hard and they advance in their knowledge and skills, in my opinion, rapidly. In addition to completing 8 modules, the students have to engage in a serious amount of work experience. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a minimum of 150 hours, and generally the students get about 300. And so they're the best. They're the people you want employed with you, because they're real world workers and experienced. So.
Yeah, and of course that's down to the point of the amount of people who are here at the careers fair this morning. Alison, just before I go, or before you go, should I say, the demand for your type of service. We continually hear about an ageing demographic. That would lead me to believe that there's going to be more and more demands on your services.
Yes, like if you look at this from a health perspective, the population is ageing, and so we're a home care company. We look after people who are mostly over 65 years of age. We do look after people who are younger than that, but most of our clients are generally over 65. Right up into their 90s and even in the hundreds. The population is growing and aging, and that means that we need to produce more quality carers into the community. The HSE wants to move healthcare away from hospitals into the community sector, and so we really need to work well with the HSE and the likes of HICWA in the future to increase and maintain a uniform standard in home care across the country. We're really behind that vision in Sandra Cooney's home care. We are prepared to invest in our carers and their learning and knowledge with the view that we can become, you know, leaders in quality around the country.
And before you go, Alison, here's your chance. Free plug for the company.
So anyone who's looking for part-time or full-time work in the North Dublin area, I'd really ask you to get in touch with us at sandracooneyhomecare.ie or on our Facebook. We'd love to just even meet you for a chat and tell you about some of our free training in addition to employment opportunities that we're offering currently.
Alison, lovely to meet you. Thank you so much indeed for joining us. And before that, it was Mary Hickey, principal of Collage de Dooley. Now, I hope that I won't be demeaning when I say we'll go down the pecking order a little bit. Assistant principal, Anya Daly. And you're also, which is really why I want to talk to you, the employment engagement officer, for want of a better expression. This whole careers fair that we're at this morning, we're here in Collage de Dooley, and it's all your fault. So can you tell us, Anya, number one, I suppose, and I'm fascinated, that it was something I was asking Mary before we went on here, the amount of work that goes in to putting something like this together.
Yeah, it's quite a large event. Therefore, there's a lot of organisation and planning before the event. Initially, that we would have to identify when we're going to hold the event. And then from that, a team of people within the college and myself can work together in marketing the event, advertising the event, and then also inviting the employers to the event. Currently, we have over 300 students that are going to be graduating with Collage de Dooley College of Further Education with us that are participating in an exam situation this morning, and they're going to come out from the exam and they will then engage with the employers that we have set up. So yeah, there's a big lead into it. It's a lot of work, and today is the finale as such.
Yeah, and I suppose that's really the purpose of the question, because everybody here today, ourselves included, will see the fruits of the labour, but the thing is that these things just don't happen. There has to be a lot of work gone into it, and I should of course say that I'm also joined on our panel now by Amy O'Connor from, she's a field-based consultant with a permanent TSP. That sounds a lovely title, Amy. We'll talk to you in a second. You must be doing something very right here, because I'm just looking at the amount, and I mean, we will have pictures up on the website later on of the careers fair here. But the amount of employers who are engaging with you is one thing, you engaging with them. But when anybody walks in here, they can see the amount of them that are engaging with you. That's really impressive.
Yeah, I suppose over the last couple of years, my role as the Employment Engagement Assistant Principal in the college was initially then to establish a link with employers that are local to the college and the community in the area, which is really, really important and key, because we have a number of students local. We do spread as far as North County Dublin and as far as the far side of the city with our students as well. But the key is to establish a link. My own background would have been that I worked in corporate background initially. I re-educated myself as an architectural technologist, design technologist, and from that I would do project planning and stuff like that. So therefore, events and project planning is something that I have a niche in. And when I was given my position as an assistant principal, Mary was able to identify that she felt that the employer engagement role fitted me the best. So that's what happens in the college, that any of the assistant principals that are rewarded their position, we work with the management team and they identify where it sits best. Prior to taking on the role of assistant principal, I was the department head for the health science department, and the health science department would have childcare, healthcare students and pre-nursing students. So key for their education is that they actually get valued work experience. They have to get work experience, a minimum of 120 hours work experience with an employer in that discipline area. So I had established a few links initially from being the department head, and it just grew legs from that.
And again, I mean, it's something, and I'm saying this to you, but I'll address it to Amy, that it seems to be, from my experience of dealing with Collage to Do League and going to these things on a pretty regular basis at this stage, that again, the calibre of student coming out of here seems to be what employers are looking for. Amy?
Yeah, absolutely. Being a previous student of the college myself, I can definitely say that throughout the courses and the education and everything that they gave me, it was definitely a stepping stone into my sector, and helped me throughout with references and just coming back.
Can I just ask you, Amy, and bearing in mind your age here, what year did you join Permanent TSB, do you mind me asking you? And I have a very specific reason for asking you that question.
Late 2016.
Now, prior to that, there just was no vacancies in the economic sector, because of the downturn. Number one, a lot of people, it was frowned upon by people, the banks and they're the ones that led us down the road. Number two, things were going very, very slowly. So the vacancies were not there. And in saying that, you come out of Collage to Do League and you go to Permanent TSB, is that just goes to show you the grounding and the benefit of coming to a place like Collage to Do League?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose doing the business studies course and the secretarial course and throughout the Excel and just all the experience I gained from the college helped me obviously into the stepping stone of Permanent TSB and the bank. And there's also so much support on that side from an educational front that they could kind of come behind you and support any courses through the Institute of Bankers, and, you know, both financially, and they give you time off to study as well. So it's always a constant progression, and I suppose that's kind of the message that, you know, you're giving the students of how important education is and how important it is to continue to educate yourself and tool yourself so you can compete in the current climate and the current market that's constantly changing, as we all know.
Yeah, and that is a very important point, Amy, because we were talking yesterday about something in relation to employment and where, you know, sort of 30, 40 years ago, you left school, you got a qualification, or maybe not, you went into employment, and you basically stayed there for your 30 years or your 35 years, and everything was tickety-boo. And just to come back to you on that point, Amy, I mean, you're saying 2016, we're now in 2019, and I would bet that from even those 3 years, the changes, it's a constantly evolving now. Nothing is staying the same for as long as it did anymore.
Absolutely not. There's a huge crossover, I suppose, with the recruitment. Like, we'd be working with staff now that would be coming from different types of sectors, like hospitality or general customer service. And it is easy to kind of transfer over and take those skills with you.
And I want to come back to you, Anya, on a point that Amy brought up. And again, I was listening attentively to the briefing session this morning before we started. You now are engaging with companies and you have courses here where we'll say the likes of Amy in 10 or 15 years' time, or maybe even longer, 20, 25 years' time, the model that you have here, her company can re-engage with you, and there's some module that they want Amy because of maybe that there's a promotion or something else in line. She can come back here and they contribute towards the course, and she can be upskilled and trained and certified from here.
Yeah, recently Solace released a program called Skills to Advance, and all the ETB colleges, which is the Education and Training Board colleges, are involved with the Skills to Advance and ourselves. Objectively, the Skills to Advance model is based that an employee can present themselves to the college, can identify that maybe they need upskilling in a specific area, such as data, methods, Excel, Word. It could be then maybe from the healthcare sector. It could be care of skills, care of the older person, whatever the module is that's going to help them to progress in their place of employment or to retain their place of employment and to keep them current, and they can come, and that's route one, they can come and participate in a QQI level 5 course. They can also participate in a QQI level 6 course, but there's a small voluntary fee of 30%. So they would hope that the individual applicant would engage with the employer in regarding of redeeming that amount. Route 2 then would be the likes of Amy and companies that would be maybe in the banking sector, in the local small and medium-sized businesses in the area, could identify that maybe there's a need to do the ECDL, which is like Excel, data methods, Word and so forth, or it could be a different package that they need to upskill their staff in that specific area. It's a requirement for them to retain employment, and they can approach myself, and we do an occupational skills profile. We identify the need of the employees, we identify the module that they need to do, and we can tailor a course for the need of the employer and the employees. So therefore, it could be a day release that they could be letting their staff go for. It could be an evening course. So there's lots of different avenues that could take place. So that's the Skills to Advance. The key of that is that as Solace is responsible for educating the nation, that we're part of that. So it's free to any participants that come along on it, and it's for the QQI level 6, it's a 30% fee charge.
Yeah, and it is a great facility because, I mean, we all know of colleges and schools like this all over the country. And for years, come 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, they sat idle until 8:30, 9 o'clock the following morning. I mean, this place, I've never come into it, but it's absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, we're open here 5 days a week, the same as most further education colleges, from 9 till 5, and then we have night school. We run night school on Monday and Tuesday nights, and then we also have the campus open on a Wednesday evening. So we're open until 9 o'clock Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday evening, which is great because it means then we can facilitate an employer to send their employees maybe on an evening course for 2 or 3 hours in the evening, maybe for a duration of 10 weeks. So for instance, we would have run a couple of healthcare level 6 courses in the past, our childcare level 6 or childcare level 5 courses, and the participants would have completed one module over a period of maybe 8 to 10 weeks for 3 hours a week on a Monday evening. So we can tailor courses anyway, which way, we sit down, we have a discussion with the employer. We don't dictate the way that the employer maybe wants to run. Sometimes the employer also wants to run the course in their own vicinity. They might have a training room available as well. So the whole objective is that if an employer contacts myself, Áine Daly, at CDCSE, so my email is acddaly@cdcse.com, we can get into talks and discussions around the skills to advance or any need that the employer may have in the immediate area.
And Amy, to come back to you, I mean, you're, I suppose, in a very, very unique position here, because it's not that long ago, really, since you were here. So you kind of know today, once that exam that Mary and Áine were talking about is over, would you nearly know what type of an individual would be suitable and that you'd be looking for in the financial, in the banking sector?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, customer service is a huge factor, and they need to have the right attitude, friendly, eye contact, having the right skills as well from IT perspective in relation to Excel. And then very much so it would be an attitude. I mean, once you have the right people in the front of the house in relation to your business, that's kind of what they'd be looking for. And, you know, Anya's course is here, I know from personal experience, like, to cover that. So it's fantastic. And even with the marketing programme as well, it's stood a lot to ourselves. And Permanentsb is very much getting involved with the community more and very much, like, using these type of events to get more involved. So, yeah, it's just brilliant to be a part of it.
It's a funny thing, actually, Amy, but speaking to Mary, speaking to Áine, and now speaking to you, yes, it's nice to have the qualification and the piece of paper, but the one phrase that I've heard, I think, about 10 times or 12 times this morning is people skills.
Absolutely. I mean, it's down to the people skills. Anyone that has any business wants somebody that has that general, that good attitude, as I said, eye contact, friendly, approachable, understandable, having that, you know, empathy is the basis for any customer facing role or any role where you're dealing with the public.
And Amy, anybody listening this morning who would like a career with Permanent TSB and can't make it along here today for some reason or other, how do they go about applying?
I suppose with the internet nowadays, everything will be advertised up on our website and the Careers Avenue. You can check all the vacancies there. There's obviously summer staff available as well for, you know, giving young students some experience during the year to give them an idea of what way the bank works and if it's something that they'd be interested in pursuing. And then obviously there's programs where we, you know, where the bank will take them on and put them through accelerated education programs to get them up and running. And again, it's just so much transferable qualities from here to Permanentsb and so on for your career.
Yes, long are gone the days where you just stood behind the desk and counted money in, money out. Those days have completely changed in the banking sector. But then again, you're way too young to remember banking when it was like that. Amy O'Connor, Permanent TSB. Thanks a million, Amy, for sitting down with us this morning. And I am now joined by Anne Kennedy, who is the IT instructor, excuse me, and also by Jutta Jennings.
That's correct.
Very nice. I'll start with you, Anne. Everything now seems to revolve around computers, and if you're not computer literate, and yes, we heard this morning there from Mary and from Áine that, excuse me, a lot of high profile managers in companies are not computer literate, and they get around the problem by hiring people who are.
That is true, actually, and we do find that, all right. But we find as well that a lot of IT people aren't business literate. So we like the idea of bringing those two things together. We have obviously courses that are very tailored mostly towards IT, and we would drive the whole IT skills part of it. But I also teach communications to technical people and the likes of project management and these managerial kind of skills that people who have a technical knowledge do also need to have an awareness of so they can feed into the business, so they can get their great IT ideas out there and into the business, contributing to what the business is looking for. Because at the end of the day, most businesses aren't there to make IT things, they're there to make money. So IT people need to know these skills too. So what we do is we have purely, we have driven IT programs, but we're also launching a new course this year which is going to merge business skills with IT skills, because we feel that that's a niche area and that both business people could learn IT but also IT people could learn about business. So we think this is a very interesting and a very exciting opportunity for us coming into the next year.
And again, of course, you are also, because of the fact that you have identified this as an area to concentrate on, you feel that there is employment opportunities here for people, obviously.
Definitely. Well, I myself, Kalasha Dulick supported me when I took a 5 years career break, and I've worked in industry for the last 5 years. This is my first year back, so this is something I feel particularly passionate about, and I've seen it in the industry that there is a need for people to be able to understand what is going on around them, and so they can feed into it, so they can see where those areas are, what they can do to make it a more profitable and a more inclusive environment from both the business and the IT sectors.
Now, I'm also joined from Hertz by Jutta Jennings, as I said at the beginning, and this is a question I have been dying to ask since you sat in front of me. Your title is a Talent Acquisition Specialist.
That's correct.
Please do tell what, other than the obvious of acquiring talent, what a talent acquisition specialist does.
Well, I suppose the simple word for that would be the recruiter, you know, but there's a little bit more than just, you know, finding talent for my company. It's everything that's evolved around it, you know, advising people, you know, helping them with interviews, advertisement, marketing for the company, you know. Hertz, we're a very big company up the north side, so it's not only one specific area we're looking into. We have IT, we have a huge finance center, we have HR, we have customer service. So, it's not just specifically one specific area, so it's a very broad range of jobs that we're offering. So,
and at the risk of sounding maybe a little bit flippant, you must be like a kid in a candy store when you come into here. So if you're recruiting and you have that many different aspects, and when you marry that to what we've heard from Mary Hickey and Anya and what we've just heard from Anne, I mean, you must be like a kid in a candy store here.
Yeah, it is. I'm mainly here for the IT area, so I'm looking for, you know, software engineers, and it's not only about education, as I was saying earlier on, and I'm saying that to everyone, it's about personality. That's what I'm trying to bring down to the students here today as well. It's about the background, obviously about the education, what you're going to do, but it's about personality as well, and it's a complete different generation. And IT software development, it's not sitting in an office on your own coding all day. It is about teamwork, it's about pair coding, it's about working as a team, and that is a complete new area that the young people need to learn nowadays. So when somebody comes in for an interview, it's not just, you know, talking about your professional background, what kind of studies you've done, it's how you present yourself. That is so important.
And if somebody comes in from an interview and you look at their CD and you see that they attended Kalasha Dulick, does it give them a bit of an edge?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm here for today. North County Dublin, we're looking, you know, always looking for somebody living in the area as well. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, girls, thank you very much. And indeed, I want to say thanks to all my guests, or our guests, should I say, Liam and Della Hunt, Mary Hickey, Principal of Kalasha Dulick, Anya Daly, Assistant Principal, Amy O'Connor from Permanent TSB, and Kennedy from the IT or ICT tutor here in Kalasha Dulick. And the last voice you heard there was that of Jutta. Should I say, Jennings from Hertz, and some of the other people who are here today at the Careers Fair are Permanent TSB, Hertz, you heard, Home Instead Senior Care, Eurocar is here, North Dublin Home Care, Sandra Cooney Home Care, which you heard from earlier from, as I said, Alison Della Hunt, mm-hmm. Giraffe Centre is here, the Clayton Dublin Airport Hotel are also here, and they are just some of the employers at the Careers Fair here in the Kalasha Dulick on this Wednesday morning. So, Liam, from everybody here, on behalf of the Near FM crew, from Carl and myself up here, I would like to extend our thanks to the staff, principal and staff at Colossus Dooley for having us, and to all the employers who took time out of their fair here to talk to us this morning. And on that note, Liam, I will hand it back to you in the studio.